Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Ed, let's jump into the U.S. equity markets first because we're seeing a positive day for markets. Now, across the board, the S&P, the Dow, NASDAQ, they were all up a bit higher earlier in the day, even opened up higher than the current trading levels that they are at. And as we're chatting right now, almost 9 o'clock on the West Coast, we have the S&P up 2%, Dow is up almost 2.25%, NASDAQ is a little bit behind there, up about 1.75%. Some of the interesting things on the charts here is that the S&P is pretty much, not fully, but pretty much filled that gap that was put in on Thursday. And I think even more importantly, is above that 200-day moving average, which is still trending sideways with maybe a little upward bias. Pretty much sideways, though. What's your takeaway from the ability of these U.S. equity markets to rally after that weak end to the week last week?
It's pretty amazing when you look at that rally, because we're seeing right now, just already, we've erased almost 70% of that steep decline. And I think when you look to say, well, how is that even possible? It's a lot of that, you know, stemmed from the stimulus trade, which, you know, we got a positive confirmation from Fed Chair Powell that, you know what, they're going to live up to their promises. The announcement that they're buying their corporate debt, you know, that was already announced weeks ago. But the action of doing it, you know, just provided a strong bid yesterday. And now we're seeing, you know, there's just a countless optimism that, you know, regardless of what we see pan out in the election, we're going to see infrastructure in the U.S. and a lot of last night's positive move in equities was attributed to the Trump administration's announcement that they're expecting to spend about $1 trillion in infrastructure just to help propel that economy. And that's something that we heard a couple weeks ago. It seems that investors are, you know, just ready to come back into the market. That money that's been on the sidelines, a lot of that's never came back. And whenever we see, I think anytime we'll have a down days, you're going to see fresh money come into this place, this rally, and I think that's why you're seeing a lot of optimism be remaining on that the economic outlook is going to start to look a little bit better once we continue to see the reopening of the economies. And that's why I think this morning we had one last surge higher following a very impressive retail sales reading, which I think when you take into consideration, prior to this report, you know, the last two were consecutive record declines. So there was a lot of positives, though, out of this report, because the control group, which a lot of people use for calculating GDP, it takes out the food services, the car dealers, gas stations, all that stuff, that rebounded back to pre-pandemic levels. So it's, that provided a little bit better picture of, you know, the U.S. consumer. While, yes, a lot of Americans are still unemployed, still not able to go back to work, you're still seeing people are buying, and the U.S. consumer is still spending money. So I think that's why we continue to see optimism that whether or not, you know, 1 week we're buying stay-at-home stocks and then we're rotating back to value or whatnot, there's still optimism that the U.S. stock market is going to be the place that investors are going to want to be. If the outlook gets worse, people are going to want to hold tech, and that's, you get the best tech opportunities in the U.S. I think there's still a tremendous amount of optimism here. But when you take a look at the outlook, a lot of that is based upon that we're going to see the U.S. Work its way through this first wave of the virus. And Ultimately, there's high hopes that you'll have treatments and vaccines in place by next year. So there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty. That's what's going to happen really for the second half of the year. And I think that, you know, some of this rally, though, there was a lot of cold water pulled over it when we had those announcements of these virus updates, whether it was in Texas, where they saw hospitalizations surge to a two-week high. Florida had a big spike. And then the big one, which really moved the market, I thought, was that we had Beijing, and they had to increase their emergency response level to from 3 to 2. And that's really concerning a lot of people, because China has been, you know, the template as far as the economic recovery goes. And today's announcement that they're raising their emergency response level is basically shutting down schools, and it's advising that, you know, unnecessary air travel should not be taken. So you know, it seems that they're just one step away from entering another lockdown. And if China goes into lockdown, that's going to really derail a lot of the prospects as far as what's the rest of the world going to do. Europe is behind China, and then we're behind Europe. So if China's getting their second wave and they're possibly quickly dealing with this new wave, you know, we're you know, I think there's no reason not to expect it to happen in the rest of the world. And that is something that we've probably don't have properly priced in at all. So I think that you're going to see that temper a lot of the recent rally. It's hard to go against the stimulus trade, so choppy trade is likely to continue. And when it's all said and done, where are investors going to want to be? It's still U.S. equities. So I think there's still room for significant down days, but ultimately it still seems that this rally is bulletproof until we have the Fed tightening, until, you know, the balance sheet and the U.S. Budget deficit becomes an issue. But those are likely to be 2021 stories.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Fed just pushed out really any sort of tightening until 2022, if not even further. But we all know how reliable Fed outlooks are 3 months, let alone 2 years out. So we all need to take that with a grain of salt. But hey, you are right. The U.S. equity markets, there's a lot of cash and money sloshing around the system, and it does continue to land in U.S. markets. And the important thing is, I think, at least recently, there's been this rotation going on. So not a complete exodus, and you know what? More and more retail money coming into the sector. One more quick comment, though, regarding this infrastructure proposal. I feel like we've been talking about infrastructure for 3+ years now, as long as Trump's been president, if not longer than that. Why do you think it matters now, or is it just being used as an excuse for traders to continue to keep their money in the markets and rotate it into some other stocks?
I think right now the expectations are pretty high, though, that we will see infrastructure. The Democrats already unveiled their own $500 billion proposal. So there's a big need for improvements with many of the roads and bridges. The U.S. is long overdue for that. And if we're going to catch up with the rest of the world and deliver 5G, I think the wireless infrastructure is, and the rural broadband is going to be a focus for whoever's in office for the next couple of years. So you know, this was dangled before, as you mentioned. Once Trump got his tax cuts, he says, "Well, let's keep going." But I think that you have Democrats on board in getting something done as well. So there is optimism that infrastructure will happen, whether or not it's before the current funding law expires on September 30th. That's debatable. By then, we're going to be so heavily into election mode, it'll be hard to see if anything really concrete is able to be done. But if the economy is struggling, you'll probably see the pressure be on both sides to to have something come into place. But yeah, that's kind of where the whole infrastructure plan is likely to. I think it's become the base case that we'll have something done the side of Christmas.
Yeah, it does look like that. And hey, it's kind of this bullish carrot that is bipartisan too. So it can be dangled in front of investors and it can be taken positively. And you know what? The U.S. does need a big infrastructure plan. And with how much money they're printing, hey, at least put some of that into infrastructure. When it comes to potential lockdowns, okay, Beijing went to a level 2, which did shut down schools, did not shut down factories, but it comes to if those shutdowns come to the U.S. or even to Europe, is that going to be the key to watch in terms of a market pullback? And on the top of that, do you think governments are overly resistive right now to another shutdown because of the devastating impact it's had for jobs in the economy?
I think so. I think that especially in the U.S., you're unlikely to see, even if we continue to see these spikes in throughout the country, with the exception of the major cities, you're unlikely to see these lockdown measures, I think, completely returned. You know, most of these states did not reach the guideline, the recommended guidelines to reopen. The pressure was done by the public. The public needs to work. This has been highly reviewed, and I think right now you're probably going to see that the at-risk people are going to remain home. They're not going to contribute much to the economy. Hopefully, they're able to work from home. But you're going to see a lot of the country remain adamant that the economy does not see a complete reversal. And I think the problem is that we still don't have the tracking and tracing in place. We still don't have all the testing availability. And the biggest problem, though, is that we don't isolate and quarantine. So if we do have a breakout, it's questionable whether or not how strictly that is going to be enforced. I think that if the second wave hits the U.S., you're going to see nowhere near the response that we're currently seeing in Beijing. I think it'll be fought about, it'll be discussed, debated, and you probably won't see strong compliance. And that's why I think there's a tremendous amount of risk to the outlook for the U.S. Just because of how we anticipate part of the country will react. Now, if we continue to see cases and hospitalizations rise and the death count really climb higher, you'll see the government officials will have more ammunition to impose these stricter measures, restrictions. But you know, unfortunately, by then it might be too late. So it's tough to see how this will unfold because the virus will also possibly mutate. There's so many variables, and the hope is that, you know, we're going to have treatments and vaccines in place. Whether or not the population is willing to become vaccinated is another question. There have been some polls taken, and right now it's there's surprisingly I think one research from I'm drawing a blank on which brokerage did it, but I think it was roughly 60% would be willing to be vaccinated, 40% were not. So if we do have a vaccine, and if those are the numbers that the population will go by it, then how effective is that really going to be? Not so much. So I think there's still a lingering virus concerns that are not going away anytime soon, and all we can do is just track the data, and eventually, if you're seeing this uncertainty persist, it will weigh on the consumer, and that ultimately, when the stimulus starts to run out, weigh on it. But right now, it seems we're far from that.
Yeah, and right now we're still seeing a lot of retail traders. We keep getting these Robin Hood stories of retail traders moving into the markets and using whatever money they seem to have to push some of these stocks higher in intraday action, single day action. It's actually quite shocking to see, but that does just seem to be the market we are in. And hey, there's a lot of push and pull factors here for U.S. equity markets, but we do need to pay attention to the charts, and the charts are still showing general strength, especially after this little pullback that really just tested out that essentially 3,000, just under 3,000 level, about 2950 level, where the most recent breakout came. And hey, it held there, and right now it's continuing to move higher. So pay attention to the charts, watch the news, but understand that investors still want to be bullish for these markets. As much as we hear the worrisome signs around the world, price action is showing us that investors still are taking that almost by the dip mentality and keeping money in the markets. Ed, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time this morning. I'll post a link to the OANDA website so everyone can follow along with your daily note. Thanks for your time, Ed. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.